Romans 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then Romans, New Testament. Romans 5 speaks of God's gift, Jesus Christ. We've been focusing on this morning around communion, especially and in the songs. The gift of Jesus, who came and gave his life. Saved by grace. And Romans 5 speaks about the peace and the hope that we have for the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus. And then Romans 6, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Well, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Can I just grab that PowerPoint? We are just looking at baptism this morning as part of our doctrinal statement series. If you've been with us over the last 10, 12 weeks or some of those weeks, we've covered a whole variation of things that are found on our website that speak to who we are and what we believe. And today is the second last of this series, and we're looking at baptism. And the question of baptism that gets asked is, do I really need to be baptized? If I am saved and I believe in Jesus as my Saviour and Lord, do I need to be baptized, or why should I? And I think it's a question that's probably asked more often than not, or perhaps more than we think. Is it just a church ritual? Is it symbolic? Is it necessary? Well, today we want to explore what the Bible teaches, but while we do that, we actually want to explain to you from an elder's point of view what it is we believe and how that impacts our practice here in this church. Before I get to those points that I want to make this morning on baptism, I want to address a question that has come up in conversation not so long ago, and that is, why was Jesus baptized? And how does that impact our view and our understanding of baptism? You may recall in the book of John, at the very beginning, John the Baptist was baptizing people, and he was calling people to repent, to change their life, to seek forgiveness of sins, to trust in God and obey the laws of God. Yet when Jesus came, John was hesitant to baptize Jesus. And I think it's fair enough. I think John was hesitant and saying, I need to be baptized by you. It's you who should baptize me. And John is thinking, I think Jesus has nothing to repent of. He is the, as he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But the response by Jesus is interesting. And this is where we find the answers to why Jesus is baptized. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So how is Jesus' baptism a fulfillment of righteousness? The Jews are coming for baptism to repent and to show their repentance and to receive forgiveness of sin. But Jesus has no sin. But he is called the Lamb of God, the sin bearer, in John 1:29. Jesus' baptism is an act of humility and obedience. Though sinless, Jesus counts himself with the sinner and leads by example by going through the waters of baptism. And in that moment, we see it is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In that moment, we see it is the Godhead picture is seen of God declaring, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And from there, Jesus goes out into his ministry. It foreshadows what is to come at the cross. Because even at the cross, as sinless as Jesus is, Jesus will die for the sin of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him," that is Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Fulfilling all righteousness includes not only Jesus being obedient to his Father's will, but providing his perfect righteousness as a righteousness for us, that we may experience holiness and righteousness, to be like Jesus. Because at the heart of holiness and righteousness is faithful obedience. Jesus was obedient, not just in baptism to fulfill and be obedient and to fulfill righteousness, but Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross, as Philippians 2 says. So the 6 points I want to look at this morning, and I hope that sort of ties through the 6 points we make about baptism and what we believe here and the practice we have here at Montmorency. And the first one is that baptism is an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience to Christ. The well-known verses we use and churches use and they should use all around the world for their mission statement of why do we exist, as Chris mentioned in prayer, we exist because of what Jesus said in Matthew 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And in that statement that Jesus gave his disciples and that we take on board 2,000 years later, baptism is not an optional extra. It's part of the command to make disciples, teaching people to obey. Jesus didn't say, "Go make disciples, and when they feel like it, they can get baptized." Baptism is not a place of when we hit a target of spiritual enlightenment or maturity. But instead, Jesus commanded his followers to baptize all believers. So when we are baptized, we are obeying, first and foremost, direct instruction from Jesus. From his own mouth, his words. We are obedient to what Jesus said to us. And it is a step of obedience that flows out of the love and commitment we should have for God and his word. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so that's why baptism matters. Baptism is not additional for salvation. It is not part two of salvation. Salvation is through faith in Jesus alone, by God's grace. But baptism matters because it is responding out of obedience to what Jesus has told us to do. Baptism is the visible sign of our invisible faith. Your baptism says to those who attend, "I've made a decision a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, hopefully not years ago, but if it needs to be, years ago, I've made a decision. I belong to Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Saviour. And I'm here to make that known." That's what baptism is doing. You would be shocked if you went to the MCG to watch a football game and two teams ran out of people with casual clothes on. Jeans and shorts and singlets and shirts, and No uniforms, no team colours, no numbers, no names. It would be chaotic. Not just for the players, it would be chaotic to watch. You wouldn't know who they were or who they belonged to. And just as a Guernsey is symbolic of identity and belonging, you know, baptism is symbolic of belonging to Jesus. And is an outward expression of an inward faith decision. I've believed and I accept Jesus died for my sin. I do that by faith. You're accepted into the kingdom. And baptism is about obedience then. This is what Jesus has asked me to do. Secondly, baptism symbolises our union, being united with Christ. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul speaks to the heart of what baptism means, what we've read. That all of us who were baptised into Christ Jesus were baptised into his death. So we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. And so Paul is saying baptism is like this picture, a living drama of what happens when we come to Jesus in faith, believing that he is our Saviour and our Lord. And when we step into the waters of baptism, we identify and we unite with Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection. All the work has been done for salvation in Jesus. We don't have to do the work, but we identify with what Jesus has done in baptism. Going under the water is symbolic. It is symbolic of dying to your old self, without God, not acknowledging sin. That's what Romans 3:23 says, that we are all sinners. We're all born into the same position. No matter our socioeconomic status, our geographical location around the world, we are all sinners. We're all lost. No one displays the righteousness, the holiness of God naturally in our life. We're all separated from God. Believing by faith in Jesus' death for our sin and resurrection means salvation. And baptism is declaring what God has done in my life. And the symbolism is to go into the water saying, this is how I was born, separated from God, dead, not acknowledging God, not acknowledging sin in my life. And I've gone into the water because I've believed in what Jesus has done. The work has been done to pay the price of my sin. I unite with Jesus in that, in death. And coming out of the water is symbolic of rising up into a new life. The new life we have in Christ that gives us purpose and hope in this life. That transforms the way we think in this life from what we were. And that points to the great hope we have of eternity. It is symbolic, it's beautiful, and it preaches the gospel. Thirdly, baptism identifies us with the body of Christ. So it identifies us and joins us with Jesus, but it also identifies us with the body of Christ. In the New Testament, baptism wasn't just a personal expression of faith that it was and still is, but it is a public joining also of the Christian community. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are all baptized by one spirit into one body. And baptism brings us into a visible fellowship with the church. It's publicly saying I belong to the family of God. I have a new identity. As it was the beginning of the ministry, the journey for Jesus in the Jordan River with John the Baptist, it is a starting point in our life of service and encouragement and building one another up and being united in love. and being part of the body of Christ. In the book of Acts, this was always immediate. The examples we have that we read about, when people believed, they were baptized right away. Acts 2:41 says, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believed and were baptized the same day. The Ethiopian eunuch believed in Acts 8:36, and he said, look, here is water. What's standing in the way of me just being baptized now? There were no long delays, because baptism marked the beginning of their life within the church community, and it was the first step of obedience to what Jesus commanded. Now, there's no biblical rule that says you have 24 hours or 48 hours or 3 days or a week or a month. That would be legalism. You might want to set a date a few weeks' time, you know, because you want to have friends and family come along, and that's the day and age we live in. We send a Facebook invite out and get people along because you want to share your story. But the principle is, don't put it on delay. Don't put it on delay. Don't put it off as if it's not important. If you have made a decision by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, baptism is the first step of obedience as a believer. So I encourage you, if you belong to God, if you know, yes, I'm a believer, Jesus is my Saviour, I encourage you, if you haven't been baptised, don't put it off. Don't delay. That's the principle. That's the principle from the New Testament. Baptism is a public testimony. It's not a private ceremony. It's a public declaration. I love that, I think it's Warrandyte. I've been to some baptisms they have in the Yarra, down the back of their church. There's a spot they always go to. And I love that because that is such a popular walkway. There's so many people walking with their dogs and stuff up and down, and they have a baptism. They go in the Yarra and that, you know, there's a testimony and they share it there. I love that. We're not far from the Plenty River, but now they've put this fence here, we can't cross over the railway line, and there's snakes down there and stuff, so we'll stick with this. But baptism is to be public. It's for the believer to stand and say, I am not ashamed of Jesus. This is who I am now. And in the early church, it came with risk. Around the world today, it comes with risk. We're blessed in this place that publicly identifying with Jesus doesn't bring us persecution in here. But it does for many. And in the New Testament church, it did for so many. It even could mean putting your life on the line. Yet believers still came forward because they knew their Saviour had already given his life for them. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. I was reading a powerful testimony during the week in preparation for this, a story I hadn't heard of before, but a woman from India in Uttar Pradesh. I'm not sure if I say that properly, Benoy. But Uttar Pradesh, I think in northeast, I looked on the map, northeast, a state of India. A very highly populated area of India. And this woman came to faith in Jesus. And when she was baptized, she was literally disowned by her family in that space. When she was baptized, her friends turned away. And she was asked in this interview by this Christian, did she regret it? Do you regret what's happened in your life? Her response was, I lost my family, I've lost my friends for now, but I found Jesus. And he will never leave me. I thought that was an incredible response. You know, every baptism is a powerful testimony. Whether you've been brought up in a Christian home and the privilege of hearing about Jesus since a young age, and that has resonated with you and you've made a decision for yourself, or to the extremes of the New Testament believers and this woman in India who have lose their family and friends and their livelihood in that place because of their faith in Jesus. Every testimony is powerful because baptism is a proclamation, is a declaration, a public testimony of the powerful good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for my sins, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and in him we find forgiveness of sins. In Jesus we have hope. We have peace in this life. Fifth point. So baptism, it points us back to the gospel. And baptism is a gospel picture. Every time someone steps in the water, as we just said, when someone steps into the baptismal waters, it reminds us of the central message of our faith. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. In Titus 3:5, Paul writes, he saved us not because of our righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy. Oh, it's because of his mercy. We didn't get what we deserved. We deserve the death. We are the sinners. But at the cross, Jesus went down into the depths of death and came out victorious over sin and the grave. The life we have in Christ is a life that is not controlled with the power of sin over us, because we have forgiveness of sin. Death has no sting, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we are baptized, we're symbolically following the incredible sacrifice and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, from death to life, living with the purpose and hope that comes from belonging to the kingdom of God. It is a reminder for believers. You know, every time we witness a baptism, it should be reminding us of our own salvation story, that we don't take it for granted, whether it's been 5 years or 50 years, what God has done for us, that we remember his grace and his mercy, and that the resurrection power, it changes lives today. I think baptism services are some of the most amazing times in the church, life of the church. That they can, and if needed, they should reawaken our appreciation and our gratitude for God's saving grace. The last point I want to make is this: baptism is a step of commitment and witness. It's not only a symbol, but it's a commitment. As I publicly declare that I've made a faith decision in Jesus as my Saviour and Lord, I no longer want to live like the world lives and like how I used to live, but I want to live a life that is in a new direction, a life that is for Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come, and I want to be all in, not a half disciple, not hiding my faith, nothing to be ashamed of. It's full surrender. Day by day, complete obedience. Faith in Jesus and baptism starts the story for the Christian, and obedience continues it. If you've already been baptized and you belong to God's kingdom and you have been baptized, I hope you continue to remember what that meant. The power of that you declared Jesus as your Lord, that you have been buried with him, raised with him into a new life, into a new hope. set apart to give him glory and to praise his name with your life. But if you have made a decision for Jesus, and today you sit here and you haven't gone through baptism, I encourage you to come and talk to myself, one of the elders or someone you trust here. We run a baptism class where we go through a lot of this similar material to talk about what the Bible says and why we should do it. We'd love to do that with you if that's a decision you need to make today. I encourage you to pray about that and to seek God's conviction in that. We'd love to have another baptism in this place and many more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who loves us so much that you sent Jesus, not just to come and live a good life, but to come and give his life. Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but out of humility and love and obedience, gave his life for us, the death on a cross. Thank you that Jesus rose from the dead. There is victory and hope in this life for us if we would turn by faith and accept Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, that you promised to forgive us. You promised to give us another chance. You promise eternity in your presence. Challenge us with your word, I pray, Lord, to transform our lives and to turn back and give you the praise and the worship that you so deserve. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.